All right, so hello and welcome to another podcast with The Raven in the Road. Incredibly excited. So today we have special guest with us, Gretchen Benner, who is the founder of Piedmont Music Therapy. So as we jump into today's podcast, we're going to look at her personal background and what kind of led her to create Piedmont Music Therapy here in Charlotte. Then we kind of move into some of the more operational parts of the business, just looking at what they do, who they serve, going into a little bit more detail with that. And we close up by looking at her team, seeing what kind of personal characteristics she looks for certified individuals wanting to join her team, and internships / shadowing opportunities provided at her practice.
All right. So hello and welcome. And thanks for having me.
Thanks.
I just want to know if we get a little bit of background, how you started and what kind of got you to where you are today.
Yes, I can definitely share my work background. I'm Gretchen. Nice to meet you. I pursued really just looking at conservatories and music schools for viola performance. That was always a passion of mine. I grew up on viola. So it just happened to be the university I chose due to scholarship offerings. Also had a music therapy degree program. Mm. So I then changed to dual degree with viola performance, a BA, and then a BS, Bachelor of Science in Music Therapy. So it's really just circumstantial that it worked out well at the Catholic school I attended in Pittsburgh. And then after my undergrad degree, I had to choose an internship, a clinical internship for up to a year. So the one I completed was up in Cleveland, Ohio, even colder. And as a Southern Belle, I survived.
You made it.
Yeah. So up in Cleveland, Ohio, awesome internship program that had different clinical settings to learn more from supervisors and the patients themselves and students I worked with. And then I worked in hospital setting, an inpatient acute psychiatry setting. And part of that job requirement was you had to have a master's degree. Mm. So very quickly, time-wise, I had to enroll in a graduate degree program. And so due to like tuition assistance program, if I attended University of Pittsburgh, since the hospital was University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, it was a lot more affordable as a fresh professional. So I enrolled in the master's degree program at Pitt. So that's the background on the alphabet soup.
Did you have any like key influences growing up that really led you to pursue music and or like music therapy, kind of social work in general? Or
I mean, certainly there's those amazing people that you meet and admire how they use the arts. And yeah, trips I went on and volunteered on experiencing how music can be so therapeutic and just bring together people, even if we don't speak the same language, was super transformative. So I was already like onto the attraction of just loving music, loving to share music. It was funny, you know, growing up, I thought, oh, I would never like to be in an orchestra because you're just like this little person and you have to follow someone else's rules. And I rarely was ever a principal. So I was always back of the viola section. But then I think once I finally matured to realize like the level of music that can occur with a full ensemble, especially full orchestra, was just like, oh, I miss those days of music camps and being in a full ensemble and in college. So I think I was aware of that through experiences I was able to receive in my upbringing. And thankfully, I had met some social workers along the way that did their job so fluently that when they asked me that what they were doing, I was like, I don't know, but it just, it was smooth. So it was helpful to, once I enrolled in graduate school, to really learn all the nuances of social work and all of the challenges that certain people have had to overcome through their resilient efforts. So it was definitely like helpful, inspiring, hard work to learn a lot of stuff that helped me be a better person in an intense clinical setting.
So with that, what led you to found Piedmont Music Therapy?
Piedmont Music Therapy was founded since I didn't have any jobs to apply to as a music therapist from leaving my work up in the Burg, Pittsburgh. So yeah, I started this private practice and studio because I figured it would be helpful to provide music therapy treatment services and inclusive music lessons in Fort Mill, where I live. So that's where PMT was born in 2013, slowly but surely. It was really out of necessity.
Right. No, I love it. Same. So from when this was founded, kind of back in 2013, how has this like developed? Is there anything that y'all have like added on or
sure.
kind of changed focus at all?
Sure. I think we've matured as a brand new business. I mean, I had no past experience of teaching out of a studio or operating a private practice with multiple age ranges and diagnoses. So we've certainly streamlined our paperwork process and, like the record keeping everyday types of things that you have to have when you work with people. We have slowly grown due to more inquiries for music therapy or music lessons for different types of ways to learn music. So we're blessed to have multiple staff. So when we do receive a call, we're able to try to pair them as best as possible. Because as we've discussed, music is not a one-size-fit-all based on genre and personality types, especially with teaching and sharing that vulnerable space. We want to make sure it's a nice relationship from the get-go and that the family and caregivers feel comfortable to that vulnerability that their loved one is experiencing. So we've certainly slowly matured and have appreciated the feedback that clients and students have shared, because that's how we learn, not just through reading someone's nonverbal communication, but getting that feedback afterwards that maybe that song choice wasn't the best or they took that the wrong way. So that way we can try to develop our craft.
Nice. I feel like the people that have grown so much, there's been that constant kind of development. It's never really been like, oh, I have it, I'm done. But it's like, how do I continually refine continually?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, certainly changes would be our recital due to COVID. We we've always done two recitals a year, but the spring recital, we used to pop up in a local nursing home or assisted living center each spring and kind of pick a new one. We would bring a potluck reception, and it was a great way for our students to interact with a different generation that they might not have experience with. And due to COVID, those recitals went virtual, which was like a huge learning curve for everyone. But this past spring, we had our first in-person recital since fall 2019.
Okay.
And we do invite clients that might want to share their songs or their work from treatment sessions in the recital. So it's an open stage approach. And thankfully, we were able to find a church that was handicap accessible. And it was just so inspiring just to witness, you know, how it is to be around people with the arts. And it's just so much easier than through an interface.
No, I get that. Well, and that's, that was always a big thing for me, because I've always tried to do at least one a year that was senior living home. We used to do, it's off Providence Meadows, I think. But then same thing, kind of COVID hit. Then I felt bad, because at the same time, it's like, you know, these, I still feel like, especially in this situation, or, you know, some of the people that need it the most.
Kind
of being stuck in there, especially for the kids. And it's so cool, especially on my end, just to see like the nervousness, but then how that like gets shed, and like, I don't know. And then they get to see like, oh, you know, you're like my age. You do this too. Like, kind of get that camaraderie between them, which has always been really neat.
Yeah.
So are there any, like future projects or like brainstorm ideas that y'all have, kind of got under the works that you're excited for?
Well, I think as music therapists, we're always looking to work with clients that might not have an opportunity to experience music therapy. So I think one of the core values of Piedmont Music Therapy is that we're really advocating a lot and trying to assist schools that reach out how they can afford a specialized music therapist to work with their students for social and emotional learning or all different goals that we might be working on. So I think that continual theme will influence that patience that and endurance that is needed to help advocate for clients. Our field only came about historically through working with veterans and nurses providing bedside care to soldiers following the war. So I think it would be very humbling and full circle if there were more music therapy services available to veterans here in the Charlotte area, simply because that's where the research starting to occur from, and that's where they finally started as a degree program. So I think that would be very fulfilling for the field just in our region if that was more accessible and more of the norm, like at the VA, for that to be provided. But as far as projects, really just trying to focus on strong, honest, transparent clinical work and acknowledging that today's a new day, both for the client and for ourselves, since these are stressful times we're living in. So we don't want to like make too high of an expectation for perfectionism, since that is not possible. Right. So I think I'm grateful that there are several of us on staff to help hold each other accountable, since we need a lot of support in a field that is so rare and where we're practicing.
Oh. Well, and that's the thing too, I feel like, especially from talking with Melody, I guess that kind of community within the field being so strong and like supportive of one another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like it goes a long way. So that's,
Yeah, it helps decrease burnout for sure, since that's definitely present in our field.
Yeah. So I was seeing kind of earlier where y'all offer one-on-one lessons versus group lessons. What would be the different circumstances where you would recommend, like, where would one be more beneficial than the other?
Sure. I think mostly just depends on the learner. Like, if they have sound sensitivity, then certainly one-to-one's better. Mm-hmm. And if they're more, like, trust issues, or, you know, they're coming from a traumatic background, it might just be easier for them to develop rapport and comfort learning something, which is already like vulnerable enough, because you're like, I can't do this easily, but you're playing that instrument so easily. So I think in those sorts of settings, keeping it more individually paired for ratios best. But sometimes with, our summer camps and some of the work we do in schools, we do group settings because we're also trying to work on social dynamics, right? Not just like the music skill functionality that they can demonstrate that outcome, but those interpersonal skills and helping them navigate how to express frustration with peers and all those little things that come up. So yeah, those are part of the things we might consider for individual versus group.
Okay, nice. Well, so yeah, kind of going deeper into that, how do you lend your services to schools and whether it's educationally or like one-on-one service?
Yeah, we do have like a little menu that schools can pick from, because we can just provide more professional development, like PD events for the teachers and staff to help them with stress management, to help them with using each other as a strong team without passive aggressiveness, with working with difficult students, right? Like, these are all things that I think are important to name, because they are present in most work settings due to human nature and other things.
Right.
So that's one thing that we do offer local schools, is just to support the staff through the arts and how, right? Like, when we are typically more creative and improvisatory, that can definitely help how we feel and move and groove. Certainly we offer individual music therapy treatment to schools. However, that's a federally funded opportunity. So technically, like, any student in a public school can receive music therapy through the IDEA law, Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. But that is a parent-based advocacy track for deeming academic necessity for their kiddo to receive music therapy in the school day. But depending where you live, that's kind of the norm, but not really in the Charlotte area.
Yeah.
But that is a service available to students, since research does show that music therapy can help a child feel more comfortable and self-empowered and give them that spark to help them encounter the academic day with a little bit more patience, right? And understanding, to help them open up to when they need help. And then we also offer a lot of group-based services to schools if they're working more on like stress management or coping skill development. since, especially as you know, as an educator, if a student is not able to cope well, it's going to be hard to like learn.
Yeah.
That is not right. Like, in order of like the pyramid and the hierarchy of needs that we all encounter, it does need to go in order. So if a student's basic needs aren't met, it's going to be very hard for them to like work on this, you know, perhaps not functional learning that they're needing for that day if they didn't sleep well or they've experienced a traumatic loss at home. So yeah, it ranges.
Okay. Our old vocalist, who's a close friend of mine, she social work, and she was kind of getting promoted and going up higher, which is why, you know, she had to kind of leave the band and do that more full time. But I didn't realize how much advocacy was like on the school. And she's like, I would meet with like teachers and like, and I was like ignorant of all that. And so I was like, wow, like that's, I don't know. To me, that's amazing. Cause I'm like, you know, having that one-on-one, someone kind of sticking up for you. And, but hearing you talk about the teachers that I never kind of thought about that. It definitely trickles down. Cause I know, if I'm in a funk or kind of an off day or whatever, like, if I don't get that straightened out before I go to teach, I've seen how it affects my students. And then I feel horrible. I'm like, you don't deserve, you know what I mean?
Surely. So,
yeah.
Yes. And it can be twofold too with educators. We can do more of like the stress management to help them be like a healthier workplace for each other. Mm-hmm. But we also have done more education as far as what's music therapy. Mm-hmm. But as a music educator, what can you provide to help accommodate diverse learners?
Yeah.
Since oftentimes music educators are kind of having to work with all sorts of students that they don't have any training or background working with yet in a large ensemble. So sometimes music therapists just come in to say like, you know, this would be visual aids that would help support that learner while still fulfilling the ensemble vibe for all learners. So yeah, I think music therapists were comfortable being a resource, right? Like we do not own music, nor that huge modality that is culturally in all around the world for so many years. So part of our work, Nicholas, is just helping people feel comfortable asking us questions and us asking others questions to help focus on the person we're all trying to help in the end, hopefully, right? Like this isn't a territorial thing. Just based on our background, we just have different learning as far as how to physically or environmentally support someone.
Yeah, because I remember you showed me that that Google Doc, you know, just those entry level questions, and I was going through. I was like, well, like 3 or 4 pages, but it was really cool because I could see like the intentionality behind each question.
I like the intake paperwork.
But it was so cool, and just kind of I was nosing in, you know, just kind of asking like, why would you ask this question, kind of thing. I was like, oh my goodness, but it was, you know, that, you know, the more information you have, the more you can kind of adapt what you have to.
Because certainly, right, as musicians, like so many of us are just able to like adapt, right, and like work with what you have. But with human beings, especially if they're coming in with a past issue that's like so heavy, we want to be a little bit more success oriented as opposed to like, oh, okay, you prefer that instrument. Let me like rearrange. So yeah, you're right. It's more for, just to help us prepare to meet that person in the event that we're like, oh, I don't even know what like that diagnosis means. Like, let me look that up to make sure I know what the typical symptoms might be, or if that's even something we would work for short term, because we do make like quarterly goals, like every 12 weeks. So we want to be, you know, success oriented, but also open to the fact that like later diagnoses, right, later interventions are harder to improve outcomes versus like early diagnosis and such. So,
this is a fun one. So, how does music therapy not being a protected position in North Carolina affect you and your practice and kind of ultimately those in the community?
Oh, that's a really interesting question.
Yeah.
Licensure protection or having some sort of regulatory practice would help ensure that someone who says they are a music therapist is a qualified person that went to a music therapy degree program and passed their board exam and is still maintaining educational credits to have that certification. Unfortunately, I've met several people that say they're music therapists, and of course I get super stoked. And then we keep chatting and like they don't have even like a counseling degree or something that would help them with the arts being something that really can open up a can of worms. And the arts, right, like songs can help with such strong associations. And if that was played at your wedding and you had a horrible divorce and all sorts of things went on, I need to be ready to like hold myself accountable that I'm the one that brought the song in without doing my homework. So I think that it would be wonderful if, you know, local neighbors could easily find someone that is trained and competent to provide that delicate service since it is specialized. And hopefully it would help families that need music therapy for their loved one to afford it through insurance coverage. Lots of the families that contact PMT will inquire for costs of services. And currently, since that's state-specific, insurance does not cover the cost of music therapy treatment. So that is another hindrance to, you know, fellow charlatans that want a service that has shown that it could help them, but they're not able to afford that, which I think is sad.
I never thought about that, but is there a, like, continued education that's required with? Oh
yeah.
Okay. Is that like a yearly thing or?
Well, every 5 years we have to like show our 100 credits that we completed in different like domains as a music therapist. And then some music therapists that practice say, in Georgia that has licensure, every year you have to show what continuing ed you did because state specific, you know, you would be a licensed music therapist over in Georgia. So they annually have to provide it, but nationally board certified through the CBMT, Certification Board for Music Therapists. Every 5 years, you demonstrate what trainings, workshops, conferences you attended, or self-learning modules when you're like, oh my gosh, I'm horrible at the blues. So like, I totally right. need to take a blues workshop with a local blues musician since I need to develop my chops. So that is open-ended for how you acquire the 100 credits.
Okay.
But yes, we are continuing to learn and to seek more knowledge since even just music, like every day, every moment, more
for real.
More songs come out and artists and apps that can help access the arts and creativity. So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, no, definitely. I keep a Spotify playlist for all my students and just... I don't listen to the radio, but at this point, I don't need to because, you know, they're, oh, I like this artist. I'm like, cool.
Right.
I was like, we'll make it work. You know, this might be some trap beat, but we'll invent a guitar part just for this, just for you. Well, are there any like financial aids y'all kind of do just kind of help support that in any way?
Well,
or like a fund or anything?
We have created two different like resource pages that are PDFs on our website. One is for nonprofit organizations or schools to help them seek grant funding. So it's a two-page document that another music therapist on staff, Melissa Reinhart, helped organize. So it's user-friendly.
Yeah.
And so that just helps plant the seed that there are grants out there that people can apply for as a nonprofit to fund music therapy treatment. So that's one resource that we've compiled to help our community. And then for individual scale, more like micro level, we have an individual resource page for families. Now, most of those grants families can apply to for children or like under 21. And so it is challenging when their loved one is 22 plus that suffered a medical issue or something. So through that awareness that like that's a need. Yeah. We do have an anonymous donor that created the Family and Friends Fund through our practice. And so that covers the cost of 3 months of treatment for an individual. And so families can apply through the website. And it's hopes to be an easy application without judgment. You don't show any financial resources. It's truly, if you weren't able to receive this application, would you still be able to afford it? Yes or no? So that is available this week, though. Nicholas, we did realize we've hit our limit. So now we're waitlisting because all of the funds available have been spent. So we'll see if that amount can get renewed and refilled. But it definitely was a comfort, and families, you know, certainly emotionally responded to be like, really?
Yeah.
So that's a tremendous offering to help that initial conversation when people call in or message us to say like, oh my gosh, so that's weekly or twice a week? And we say, yeah, some people do receive music therapy sessions twice a week because their loved one like really enjoys coming and like there's improvement. So
That's always been a really soft spot for me just kind of growing up, being like one of four siblings. And I remember doing guitar lessons for a while, but it just kind of got to the point where it was too expensive. And so just the thought of like a financial barricade, I guess, finances in general being a barricade to like those resources and those opportunities has always been like get angry about, but in a good way, you know, to like do something about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right.
So that's cool that y'all have people kind of stepping up.
Yeah, I mean, once we did barter services with like a parent that had multiple kiddos that wanted lessons.
Oh, yeah, so nice.
Yeah, so I think
two
she like
for one, you know?
Yeah, so I think she helped me do like paperwork that didn't have any like protected health information because she's the one that asked the question. I'm like, sure, I'm sure we can figure out something while you're sitting and the kiddos are in lessons. So, you know, I am a mom that started my practice, so I'm open to those questions because I think we're better when we can serve fellow sisters and brothers better.
Well, and that's what I've always loved, just kind of like talking with you, I can hear like it's not, you know, I'm here because I'm a music therapist, but it's always been like the need, you know, the need within the community and like other people, and you know, hence starting this, and you know, because there was nothing kind of providing those services. So
yeah up until like 5 years ago, we were exclusively mobile based because we couldn't afford a treatment space. So we shared speech or OT local practices that allowed us to rent their room. But of course, their peak time for when families wanted sessions after school was when our families also wanted.
Right.
So eventually we were able to find a handicap accessible place that welcomes sound, because so many people would allow me to visit and they're like, so you're not using drums? And I'm like, music. So I do appreciate when people use the pronoun of sound versus noise.
Yeah.
Having a private practice in Charlotte is definitely not an easy feat to keep overhead costs down and to make sure it's a clean and welcoming, inclusive space. So that is what keeps me going is that this opportunity, it would be harder for others. But there are lots of music therapy private practices in Charlotte. So people can always find other providers when they're searching around for a good fit through cbmt.org. And then there are lots of local college programs. So that's also a way just to kind of fact check, right?
No.
Because in this day and age, I think we do need to always fact check who we're investing in. And so Queen's University of Charlotte is super close by with an undergrad program, Appalachian State, East Carolina University, and then Converse down in Spartanburg.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So when it comes to people on your team, what would be some personal characteristics that you feel would best suit someone for your practice?
Well, I think personal qualities, even just in the field of music therapy, is that you have to be open with yourself, which is like super hard. I think when I entered music therapy, I didn't realize how much like introspective work I'd have to be doing in order to be present for someone that's actively dying or that just got diagnosed with cancer or is getting a blood transfusion. So, certainly a personal quality is to make sure like your self-care is in check and that you are setting your boundaries in order to be calmly present as a cucumber since it's Southern Garden, you know, summertime. But, you know, truly, if you don't have that internal drive to make sure you're balanced, it's just going to be harder for all. Loving music is a natural quality, right? Lots of people do ask me, do you play any instruments? Yes. If you ever meet a music therapist that says they don't, like, please fact check further. Yes. So I love making music, and I think it's fun to play around on instruments. That's always been a part of how I met friends growing up, how I focused in schools because I had orchestra and quartet and all kinds of stuff on the outside that kept me focused because I had to practice. So a personal quality of enjoying music, making music. Yeah, I would say pretty prompt. You'd have to be a prompt person because you're dealing with other people. So if you tend to kind of show up when you're ready. If there's someone that has an appointment that has OCD or has issues, that could be detrimental if you're just showing up when you're ready because you forgot to get gas.
Right.
So there's just more at stake because you're dealing with other human beings, not just yourself. So if you are not a people person, it'll be harder. Not to say you have to be an extrovert,
right,
but you just have to be comfortable working with others. These are really good questions.
Oh, thank you.
I'm impressed by it.
Okay. Yeah. I tried stalking your like Facebook and website as best I could. So I was kind of
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, we do try to keep those up for that same fact of just trying to be present. Yeah. So people know like, oh, what's this musical therapy? Right. So just to plant that seed.
Any like shadowing your internship opportunities?
Yes, we do welcome volunteers. So people can like apply to be a volunteer. Like there is an application because we are going to call your references. And so that's under like the contact page on our website. And that kind of developed because we were getting frequent calls from high schoolers that like wanted to see what it was like, but we don't have like a two-way mirror for you to observe a treatment space. Right. So it just helped you at least get to do some elbow work with music therapists and see all the paperwork and the sanitizing and the rearranging of physical environments that you were like, wow, this is more than I thought it would be. So the volunteer is open for, I think we do age 16 and up. And then we do offer clinical internships for our music therapy students. We would be open to social work students learning here because we do more macro level systems work with grants and all the paperwork involved with that. So I think there's a lot of ways that a social work student could help us improve and for them to learn. So both of those opportunities. But yeah, the clinical internship, we're currently working on an application through AMTA to become a national roster internship, which we're excited about. So we'll see if our application gets approved after a lot of resubmissions to make sure it's super.
Everything's on point.
Yes. Eyes dotted and stars sparkling. Yeah.
Thank you again so much. I learned so much. So, yeah. Good.
Well, thanks for checking out the space.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, we say we're by appointment only, so people are always welcome to email or call if they're just curious. And lots of families do visit before an appointment just so they can take video to help with the social story of their loved one, which is why we have that video on the main website, because lots of clients do need to kind of help prepare new space, new people they're going to be interacting with. So I appreciate your time with us.
Oh, absolutely.